All righty then. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Ed Alexander, and we welcome you to the show. It's Wednesday, the midweek edition, the 23rd day of September, the first official day of autumn, the first day in 4 months where the morning actually felt cool as I went out to get the paper. And it's good to have autumn here, and goodbye to the summer thunderstorm season, although the rain, of course, is always a blessing when you reside in the desert. We've got a full hour as usual. And by the way, during the hour, we have some U of A tickets to that big UCLA game to give away. We'll be announcing that very shortly. There are links to our program at buckmastershow.com. That's where we have all of our podcasts. We really have the podcast and the show archive available for you 24/7. Today we're going to get going with our friend Raj Kohli, longtime Tucson realtor, then about 20 past the hour. The renowned comet discoverer David Levy will be joining us for his appearance that he makes once a month. Karen Caesar will be here from the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. She will come on with our water quarterly report. So we have a full show for you on Buckmaster today. And then we'll have Paul Cunningham to round out the hour talking about his candidacy. We're going to be meeting the three folks who are challenging the incumbents over the next week or so. So today we'll hear from Mr. Cunningham. All right, let's welcome now Raj Kohli. Mr. Kohli, longtime Tucson area realtor, former host of a popular radio talk show, which was called Homes and More. And Raj, good to see you. I didn't recognize you when you walked here to walked into the KVOI studios. You have lost a tremendous amount of weight.
I sure did. you know, when you're overweight, actually fat, you got to do something at some point.
So you weighed in at 3-something, didn't you?
I was at 353, and today I'm at 266. 266.
And the reason you had some surgery?
Well, just wanted to lose weight. My knees were hurting. I have one artificially, and the other was headed that direction. Plus, tired of my weight in general and wanted to do something with my life, something more than I could do with the weight on me.
Well, 30 years ago, you bicycled almost around the world, didn't you?
Well, I did. I went to a lot of countries, and I really enjoyed it, and who knows, I might do it again.
You're feeling so good as you continue to lose weight. Well, it's great to see you looking in great tip-top condition. I want to begin with this report that the first half of the year saw a sharp rise in the sale of Tucson homes that were priced over $800,000. So is that a good sign that the luxury home market is starting to pick up?
Well, actually, if you go over a million, you're actually pretty bad. The sales are pretty low. Hmm. But the thing is that when you're in that range over 800,000, a lot of people have cash, they pay cash, and that's a whole different market. It's totally divorced from the regular marketplace. So it's hard to take that as an indicator of the Tucson market's health.
Well, a couple of years ago, we kept hearing that the market was really starting to improve in 2013. Over the last 2 years, how would you say we are compared to 2013?
Well, believe it or not, actually, while the numbers overall look okay, and we're doing okay, but, you know, the rate has declined substantially. 2013, we kind of smoked it. We went up 15-17%, but we were coming off the low in the marketplace. And now, you know, when the rates have been steady and there is no immediate need to for people to see that, and jobs, you know, were coming back, but people aren't that enthused to go and buy a home today. And so while the averages and the median prices are up, but if you look at the big picture, market is stagnant. Mm. And in fact, it has declined in some places.
And the rest of the country doing better overall?
If you look at the averages, yes. Although last month, yesterday's report said we were down 4.89% nationally on sales, on resale homes. So market is stagnating some, although overall it has improved, but certain sections have improved. If you look along the West Coast and the South, things have stagnated. If you look in Northeast, things are doing okay. But even in New York, things have slowed down because, you know, with the Chinese not buying there very much,
The Chinese have been buying big real estate deals in the big cities here in America. But now with the economy in China going south, that's probably dried up.
Well, yeah. I mean, if the yen is depreciating, which means they need more yen to convert to dollars to buy a home. So the U.S. property values for them have gone up substantially.
How are we doing? Are there some areas of town that are doing better, Raj Kohli,
yes,
than others here in town?
Zip code 06 and 56, which is in the south part of town, southeast part of town, they're doing well. So is the Rita Ranch area. So anything below, I would say, Irvington, going south, things are doing okay. But if you go towards the southwest, zip code 35, towards Ajo and Diamond Bell Ranch, things are not doing well. If you go north towards Saddlebrook and Oro Valley, Saddlebrook is doing poorly. Sun City is not doing as poorly. And if you look at certain other areas, so the best area is the 06 and 56 and 47 zip codes.
And why is that? The price point's right out there?
Well, the price point is right because a lot of people have this negative feeling in their mind, oh, it's Southside, Southeast, I don't want to go there. But I think it's also the best part because you're close to the freeway, plus the values are there, for people to, you can buy a bigger home for that price. And there are some new homes being built. And, if builders are building, that's the area they feel there's growth. And, you've got at Houghton, Home Depot and other stores are being built, Walmart, etc. So this is where the growth opportunities are.
Well, that's interesting to hear because for years we'd been hearing it was that Marana, Oro Valley area where all the kind of the growth was happening. But now you're saying that it's certainly happening down now on the southeast side of Tucson. So Marana and Oro Valley are pretty much flat, like maybe the foothills of Tucson?
No, Marana is actually doing good overall.
They are, okay.
But the reality is that Marana is doing well because they're smarter. They're not, killing the developers, like some other parts of the this county.
How about Oro Valley, Raj?
Oro Valley, I think, is doing okay. I mean, there's always, the demand from the retirees. A lot of, people when they're retiring, we got 10,000 people, getting old and retiring, from the
baby boomers.
From the baby boomers every day. So they're going to go somewhere and some will always keep coming to Tucson for the weather. And so they are coming, but not in as much, in terms of numbers as they were before.
Some people have held off in selling their home thinking things are going to recover. Has that been a mistake for them?
Well, if you have to go, you have to go. If you can hold off, people keep thinking, I'm going to improve my situation. Now, of course, if you remember, I sent you an email saying I don't think the Fed is going to increase the interest rate.
Yes.
And the reason is the economy was, doing a little poorly here, and we are affected by China, whether we like it or not, and the rest of the world. So if you look at the whole situation, things are improving in general, but slowly enough where you cannot expect the market to take off at any time soon. And with interest rates, if they wait till next year to increase interest rates, people will jump in and buy homes just as they find out the interest rates are going to increase. And that's what happened last week, by the way. The refinance and the purchase went up by 18.9%.
Wow. Let's go to the phone lines, to the live line. Jim, our friend Jim Kelly would like to speak with Raj Kohli.
Hi, good afternoon, Raj.
Hey, Jim. Nice talking to you again.
I'm so glad you're healthy and doing well. And Bill, Raj and I are neighbors, and he and I live in the absolute best neighborhood in all of the city of Tucson. Well, not in the city, but in all of Pima County, I think.
Where Raj, is that? What part of town is that?
We're in the southeast, like I-10 and Valencia.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
I wanted to ask you, Raj, how is Suarita doing in comparison to growth to Marana and Oro Valley? And is Suarita still a good value for people who need large family homes?
I think Suarita is always going to be a good value. You know, what Mr. Sharp has created is fantastic. And, even when the economy was down, Jim, it was, I believe, the number one community in the entire United States.
Wow.
the number one in the whole of United States. And I think it will continue to do well. They are still, you know, improving things out there. And I think this is a great community. It's close to Raytheon. You know, any developments happen, especially, you know, with that I-10, I-19 connection with the interchange, the road they're building. I think it's only going to improve the situation in Sabarita.
We haven't talked about the foothills.
Well, the foothills are like I said, the $1 million plus is slow, but mm-hmm. the rest of it, you know, it's doing is no better, no worse, I would say, in general. Homes are selling. There are expensive homes selling now, but, you know, that will continue to happen. People who have money, those type of deals are cash deals.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there is a compelling reason, I've got two people looking in the foothills, but unless they find a compelling deal, they're not going to pull the trigger.
The amount of contracts, as you pointed out, you showed me some figures before I went on the air, really down from 2013. But what about prices?
Prices on average are up. But, mm-hmm. you know, this is very deceptive, the median prices and the average prices. Because, you know, what happens is, in the last 2 years, what has happened is, you know, I do Wells Fargo foreclosure work.
Okay.
For the last 13 years, I've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of properties I was getting for Wells Fargo has declined big time. You know, mm-hmm. let's say I was getting 50 properties a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year I was down to like 30, 35, and this year I'm down even further.
Wow.
So my point is that if you look at the foreclosures, we were at about 40%. Now we are at 13% of the market mm-hmm. in Tucson, the distressed homes. But when you look at the big picture, you know, the average price and median price don't mean a whole lot, because if the lower priced homes go away,
mm-hmm.
the median and average goes up.
Okay.
But if you look at the number of days on market, they're going up. So which means and the prices are coming down in some areas. So it's not really a clear indication of where the market is.
Raj, you got to go, but it's always good to see you. Where can people reach you?
I'm always available on my cell phone. It's an easy cell phone, 891-9119.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the number, 891-9119. Feel free to call me, and any questions I can answer, I'll
and
be
they
happy
can
to do that.
Google you as well.
Yes.
K-O-H-L-I. Raj Kohli. Thanks, Raj. Good to see you. You're looking good, my friend.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to be on your show. I always enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you very much. Call now for a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the big game. It's the U of A game. The Wildcats face UCLA Saturday night. This is a huge ball game. It's a red out. So all of you fans wear red to the game. So here we go. Third caller to win. Here, 790-2040, 790-2040. For more information on this week's game, go to ArizonaWildcats.com/UCLA. Take that third caller. This is a ticket that's very much in demand. So call right now, third caller. Be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Don Pooley, former PGA Tour player.
Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst.
Diana Cannon, tournament director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout.
Wow, what a lineup. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company. Yes, now offering flowers, lounge furniture, decor, and so much more. On Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join me Thursday for a candidate interview with City Council hopeful Bill Hunt. Also, we'll meet the folks behind Gabriel's Angels. It's happening on Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, with anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts, and our archive at buckmastershow.com. You know, we probably could have said we'll take the 300th caller to win that family four-pack of tickets for the Wildcat game against UCLA out of the stadium, but we took the third caller, and Hank D. is our winner. Hank, congratulations, you and the family, on your way to that big game, something to really look forward to this weekend. Let's welcome now on the live line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, the very famous Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, of course, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, notching up 23 comets to his credit. How are you, David?
Oh, I'm very well, Bill, and congrats to Hank.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of interest. Glad we could make somebody's day here on the Buckmaster Show. Hey, it's the first day of autumn. The autumn equinox is here.
The autumn equinox happened during the night, mm-hmm. and it was a good summer for me. It was not the happiest of the summers, but it was a good one. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of observing. We had a wonderful Adirondack astronomy retreat, and still doing my search for comets. And it's been a very good, it's been an extremely good summer, I think. And looking forward to next summer.
Well, from a selfish point of view, I would love you to notch that number 24. It would shorten my intro for you, just having to say the 2 dozen comets to his credit.
Yeah, well, we'll see what we can do, Bill.
All right. We've got a total eclipse of the moon Sunday evening.
Yeah, it's the fourth of a series, and they call it a tetrad, but this happens quite often with eclipses of the moon. And they're all visible from here, but this one's the best. Sunday evening at dinner time, right after sunset, if you go outside and look towards the east, you'll see the moon rising in a partial eclipse. And as the moon gets higher, the eclipse will get deeper and deeper, and then it will enter the total phase. And it's absolutely wonderful. This is when the moon enters the shadow of the Earth. And, Bill, let me ask you something.
Okay.
How often do you enter the shadow of the earth as a person?
How often? Probably once a day.
Yes, you do. Every time you go outside at night, you are in the shadow of the earth.
Yeah.
However, at the distance of 240,000 miles, the moon does not enter the shadow very often. And it will do so on Sunday night, and there will be a wonderful total eclipse. And I really hope that all of your listeners will enjoy that.
Well, I wonder if it's, you know, we hear about the autumn harvest moon, that the moon appears to be larger. Maybe that will make this eclipse even more interesting for us.
Well, for two reasons. It'll be at moonrise when we start it.
Okay.
And the moon is always larger when it's rising or setting, appears larger.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is that there's the moon illusion effect, because you're seeing the moon projected against familiar things, so it does look larger.
Mm-hmm. David, what you had a star party. What was that called?
We had a star party. It was, we had a star party that I just went to. There were two of them. One was the Heart of America Star Party near Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and the other was Okitex.
Okitex?
Okitex, mm-hmm. and the Oklahoma and Texas Fall Star Party.
Mm-hmm.
This one featured one of the darkest nights I've ever seen, especially last Thursday night. It was just wonderful. I did 6.5 hours of searching for comets, so I'm still doing that, Bill, and I had a wonderful time. And it was really, really, really a lot of fun.
Did they serve Tex-Mex food at the event?
Not while I was there. I think they did earlier in the star party.
You said one of the darkest evenings that you could recall. I mean, why would that be the case?
Well, when you leave on our drive up to the star party, we left Albuquerque.
Uh-huh.
And between Albuquerque going north, east into the rest of New Mexico, and finally going into Oklahoma, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally rural. No cities, no habitations, except for a couple of small little towns and a gas station. There's really nothing there. So that allows the sky to get very, very dark. And when you get to the star party, there's no horizon lights, and it's all very, very dark.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing.
Well, I can recall being over in Silver City, one of our wonderful sponsors of this program. I've seen some pretty spectacular night skies over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico.
Yeah, I know. And we actually drove through Silver City on the way back.
Yeah.
Boy, the ride through the National Forest on the way westward to Silver City is really something, isn't it?
Isn't it, though? It's really beautiful this time of year, the autumn leaves turning. David, we look forward to your quote of the month here on your monthly visit with us. It is all yours, my friend.
Well, this time is in honor of our Day of Atonement today, which is Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quoting from Sevilla D. Martin, and she wrote in 1905, "His eye is on the sparrow." Hers was religious in nature. What I did was a remix of it, and it is not so religious in nature, but it is deeply spiritual how I feel about the sky. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw closer to the sky. From care it sets me free. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me. My eye is on the sky, and I know it watches me.
Very nice. Very appropriate for this day, isn't it, David Levy?
I think so. Thanks, Bill.
David, always a pleasure talking with you, and our regards to your lovely wife, longtime stargazing companion, the lovely Wendy Levy, and you two
okay,
are...
Okay, she's listening, so she heard.
You two are a great team, and we'll look forward to your visit as we plunge into the month of October right around the corner.
Oh, Okay.
Thank you, David.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much. David Levy, always great to have him on the program. He is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9. That was the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. And Ed, since I was talking about Silver City, I'm going to go ahead and do the Silver City spot right here. I think it's appropriate. David Levy saying he just drove through Silver City and the Gila National Wilderness, and he said the wilderness area looks fantastic, and it should after all that rain that we've had here in the desert southwest. It's a great time to take a getaway over to Silver City. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson. They've got that mile-high elevation, so you've got the mild days and cool autumn nights. Check it out. Bear Creek Canyon, Manzano's RV Park, Georgetown Cabins, and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. We try to mention a few of the wonderful accommodations in the area every day here on the show. You can find out more at Silver City's great website, southwestnewmexico.org. We'll be right back. Midweek edition of Buckmaster.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm going over the checklist for our holiday party at Reed Park Zoo.
Santa, music, falling snow, twinkling lights, and food are already going to be there. Reed Park Zoo takes care of everything.
I didn't realize it would be so easy.
Honey, all you have to do is call and book the party.
Whether you're hosting a formal wedding or a casual barbecue, the Reed Park Zoo provides a fun environment for an unforgettable event. For more information about booking your next get-together, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing toward 12:34 on this lovely transition day. I mean, it couldn't be more perfect. First day of autumn, the rainy season, summer rainy season is over. And we're beginning now our drier season, which I'm frankly looking forward to. About time to kind of dry things out. Once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on one of Arizona's most important, if not the most important resource, and that is water. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining me on the show is Karen Caesar. Karen is a member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board of Directors. I think I got that correct, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
How are you, Karen? Good to see you.
Oh, Bill, I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, we've heard so much over the summer, worries about a Colorado River shortage. How are we doing, and does it look like we will be averting that shortage, Karen?
Well, yes, we finally have some good news to report about the Colorado River. When you and I last met and talked about it, we were facing potentially a 50-50 chance of a shortage being declared on the Colorado River in 2016. But despite the fact that we're still in a drought, we had what we're calling the May miracle and record-breaking rains and unusually cool weather in May and June in the Rockies brought a lot more water to the Colorado River system than anybody had been expecting, and that made all the difference.
And that doesn't happen usually.
It was 150% above normal precipitation. Usually May and June are the driest months of the year in the western U.S., definitely here in Tucson.
So how are the reservoirs doing?
Well, it starts, you know, up in the upper reaches of the Rockies. The reservoirs up there are nearly full, which
Good.
Means more water flows into Lake Powell, which then in turn means that Lake Powell elevations are in good shape, and some of that excess water then can be released and flow into Lake Mead, keeping the levels of Lake Mead above the magic number of 1075 elevation. And that number, 1075, if the water elevation drops below that, that would trigger a shortage on the Colorado River.
So we're talking a lot of gallons here, I think. Maybe a trillion gallons of additional water, and boy, do we need that.
Exactly, about a trillion gallons of water, and that's exactly right. Because of all this water, not only do we not have, it's been officially declared by the Bureau of Reclamation, no shortage for 2016, the likelihood of having one in 2017 is greatly reduced as well. So, we've got, like I said, we dodged a bullet, but that doesn't mean we're out of the woods.
Well, it means that we really need to be preparing, as usual, for the future. And how are those efforts going?
Well, I'm happy to report we're making progress. This is a big, long-term effort, of course, by the CAP and our partners in other states. And we have been working with our customers, with our municipal and agricultural customers, to arrange and leave about 65 billion gallons of water in Lake Mead by the end of this year, and working on an additional 50 billion gallons the following year. Those numbers of being voluntarily left in Lake Mead are propping up the elevations and, again, averting the shortage. To put it in perspective, that's in the amount of water that would serve more than 700,000 four-person households in a year. So it's a lot of water.
Yeah, and the CAP, I know you're also funding some really innovative conservation projects, because even though we may be out of the woods right now, we do need to think about the upper and the lower Colorado River Basin.
Exactly. And what's happened now is we were bracing for a shortage and the outfall of that declaration. Now that that hasn't been, now that that's not happening, we have time to continue working on innovative conservation projects with, you know, within the state and with our partners to, again, and we just keep, you know, pushing it out. The more time to plan, the better off we're going to be.
And Lake Mead is really a key, isn't it? You have to make sure that Lake Mead basically has enough water in it. I mean, that's kind of the thing we look to. How's Lake Mead doing?
Absolutely.
And for people who don't know about Lake Mead, it's right by Las Vegas.
Correct. It's the Hoover Dam is, mm-hmm. you know, creates Lake Mead.
Yes.
And the elevation of Lake Mead is what is used to determine a shortage. And like I said, the magic elevation of 1075. Just to to tell you how close we are. Our contributions, meaning the CAP contributions alone this year for voluntarily leaving some water in Lake Mead, resulted in 3 or 4 feet of elevation higher than it otherwise would have been. We only got out of a shortage declaration by something like 7 or 8 feet. So close to half of that bonus extra water was created by the CAP leaving water in there. So yeah, absolutely, Lake Mead is the key to everything.
And so how do we, Karen Caesar, kind of work on the long term effort to permanently reduce the overuse of Lake Mead?
Well, we're working on a lot of different, like I said, innovative programs. We work with our partners. We can't depend on the weather to save us every year.
We can't expect a May miracle every year.
No, we can't. It would be nice, but we can't. And so we have to develop and put in place programs that will stabilize the levels of Lake Mead and keep system water in the system. There's a whole host of things, and some are require a lot of cooperation in the region, and everybody's cooperating.
You're hosting, the CAP is hosting a water forum in Tucson. That'll be coming up in early November. What's that all about?
Yes, the CAP, along with the Water Resources Research Center at the U of A, is co-hosting a free public forum focusing on current and future water supplies here in southern Arizona. This event is scheduled on November 6th from 7:30 to 11 in the morning. It's at the TCC Leo Rich Theater, which I looked up holds over 500 people, so hopefully it'll be a well-attended forum. We're planning to have a discussion panel that's going to feature the director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources, representatives from Central Arizona Project, Pima County Southern Arizona Water Users Association, BKW Farms, Tucson Regional Water Coalition, and Tucson Water. So you can see we're going to have all the big players there. And it will include time for the audience to ask questions and get answers from these experts. So it's a great opportunity for people to learn about the issues and really hear how everybody's working together, because it is a big complicated piece. But we're all working to ensure that we've got this reliable and affordable water for our communities to support our economy.
Karen, I think sometimes people living in the Phoenix area have kind of a better understanding of what the Central Arizona Project is all about. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. I grew up in the Phoenix area, and whether it's CAP water or not, there's surface water canals up there that people see. I think it's harder for people in Pima County to, understand the CAP water. Most of our water goes into recharge basins, a vast majority in Avra Valley. I always say it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, but it's such an important part of our economy.
Tell me a little bit about this Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board.
Well, we are an elected board that serve and represent the three counties that have CAP water. That's Maricopa, Pima, and Pinal County. It's a 15-member board. 4 members are elected from Pima County. We serve a 6-year unpaid term, and are elected, popularly by the citizens of Pima County. So at this point in time, I want to thank everybody who voted for me and gave me the honor of serving. And we meet once a month, mostly in Phoenix, and govern the policy and direction of the CAP. So this is really not run by staff and implemented, but the board of directors is the overseeing body that guides all the major policy decisions.
And this is really the input that people can directly, they can contact you directly, and then you can take their concerns or their questions directly to the board.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you can contact me through the CAP website, or, I'm easy to find on the,
Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. Yes, we're Facebook friends.
I have
a CAP Facebook page, and I hope I'm very easy to find.
Okay. Karen Caesar, and that's CESARE. And always a pleasure to see you, and it's good to talk about what's going on with the CAP. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by the Central Arizona Project. It is, of course, I think, the most important resource we have. CAP, your water, your future. Thanks for being with us, Karen. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, I've got five kids and four of them are daughters.
Daddy, Daddy, there's a spider in my room.
Oh boy, did I get smart. I took care of the spider, but the smartest thing I ever did was call Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more bugs in a Lehman household. They do a great job. They're economical and environmentally friendly.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We were delighted earlier to give away a family four-pack of tickets to the U of A-UCLA game. And some of our listeners are wondering, are there still tickets? Yes, there are. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/UCLA. This is a huge game. The game's so big, ESPN is sending the College Game Day crew to Tucson. This will be their first visit to Tucson since 2009 for Game Day. And of course, Game Day is the premier college football preview TV show. And it's going to be a red out, so all the fans are to wear red to the game. And you can visit ArizonaWildcats.com to buy online or call the McHale Ticket Office during normal business hours. And that is right now, actually, 621-CATS for more information about that. Tickets to the big game, UCLA ranked number 9 in the nation. and our Wildcats are ranked number 16. I made a prediction to Anthony Gimeno yesterday. Anthony's going to be with us next week on the show, but I said to AG, I'm picking Arizona to win this game. I think the hometown crowd, I was in the stadium when ESPN was here in 2009 for that Oregon game, went into overtime. Remember when the fans rushed the field, thought the game was over, but unfortunately it wasn't, and Oregon went on to, I think, went to the Rose Bowl that year. But that was a huge game and a great experience. Paul Cunningham is with us now on the Buckmaster Show. Paul, are you excited about the game?
Well, I apparently got a text about an hour ago that one of UCLA's most formidable players, a young man named Miles Jack, who I understand is a very nice young man, is actually injured and may not be available to play for the Bruins on Sunday.
Wow.
On Saturday. So that definitely tips the scale a little bit in the favor of the Wildcats, however.
Yeah.
I think it's a wait-and-see thing. I don't think you take that as for granted. I think that Arizona has a number of players that have been injured as well. So this will be a very exciting game. I think it will come down to how well our quarterback, Brandon Solomon, plays and how well the defense holds up being banged up with all those injuries. And if Arizona can play with the tenacity of the Wildcats and can bear down, then hopefully we'll have a great victory on Saturday.
You and two fellow incumbents, Raheena Romero and Shirley Scott, are standing for re-election. You're in the midst of a campaign. Your opponents, who we'll be talking to tomorrow, we're speaking with Bill Hunt. Next week, Kelly Lawton, who is your direct opponent. They've blamed you, Raheena, and Shirley for not doing enough to avert that bus strike. And what do you say to them?
Well, I mean, understand, I think this bus strike was a situation where we had a long-term antagonistic relationship between the labor and between management. I can tell you that every single negotiation in the system we've had has had to, we've struggled three times in 12 years or something. There's been seven strikes in the last 20. This wasn't even the biggest one or the longest one, and it seems like every single time we try to have plans to avoid a strike, it doesn't get avoided. PTM gave back $2.2 million of their surplus 2 years ago, plus there was another $1.7 million saved, plus there was $2.7 million offered to the Teamsters. We still had a strike. This is a long-term, in my opinion, a long-term symptom of the disconnect between labor and management. So again, if I was my opponent, I'd try to blame everything on me. Fortunately, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. I think it's easy to say, you know, it's easy to scapegoat people, especially scapegoat people who are in charge. But I can tell you that in the last 4 years on this council, we've done our best to fix roads. When I took office 4 years ago, we had 12% of our roads that were meeting the nominal standard, just an average or above standard, like 12%. Right now, that number is over 55%. We've paved over 500 miles of road in that time. We've also we also had a downtown that was empty with a 50% commercial occupancy rate, some places 45%. We have the Great Recession looming. And what you see right now is a very exciting and a very healthy downtown, both in a business climate and in the investment that's gone in. We had a streetcar project that was basically on the ropes. It was on its last leg and was on the verge of being canceled after a significant amount of investment had been made in it. We held people accountable, put deadlines on things, and we were able to have the streetcar get completed, which probably indirectly led to some of the success downtown. We had some issues with jobs. We kept being voted on all these top 10 lists of the worst place to work and the worst place for upward mobility. And I'm happy to report that as of the first half of 2015, on some of the months, was a record number of more people punching paychecks in Tucson than ever. And definitely almost every month has been more people punching paychecks in Tucson the most in 5 and 6 years. So we've had a good run to this point with making those improvements. We've also seen a decline, very steady and very small, but a slight decline in the crime rate. We haven't laid off any first responders. We've balanced every single budget. We haven't had to borrow long-term. We still have some structural deficits and some long-term financial health that I'd like to see improved on, and that'll be a community conversation in the next 4 years. But all in all, it's very easy to say, well, this happened or that happened, and this is why your council is bad, or this piece of graffiti's up because your councilman is taking care of things. And I can tell you that I stand by all of my actions and my books. I've done everything I can to make the best decisions possible for Tucson.
Your road guy, Mr. Darrell Cole, will be my guest Friday here on the show. They call him Mr. Pavement.
Yes, he's very well versed in all the degrees of pavement. He's out of El Paso. Basically, all of his road projects have come in on time and under budget. Not all of them, but a very large percentage, a lot higher percentage than before. He actually gets excited when he's describing how the different techniques of pavement exist. I think that's really interesting. And again, I've educated myself over the last 5 years to learn about pavement projects. We have fog seals and crack seals and slurry seals and total repavement. Those are called mill and overlay, M&O, mill and overlay projects. Mm. And they all cost a different amount per mile. They all cost a different amount per mile at different times in the world, depending on the price of oil, and they all cost different amounts per mile, depending on whether or not you're using federal monies. And if you are, you have to pay Davis-Bacon wages, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, that people need to be paid what they're worth. But again, each of these projects have these various different levels on how they're done. I'd say that if we can get some restoration highway reuser revenue fund, maybe team up with the county for a long-term solution for road maintenance, we may not be in the rut we were in 2010.
So overall, how do you think the campaign's gone for you?
I think I'm very happy with the campaign. We're very organized. We've raised most of our money. We're making voter contacts on a daily basis. I got a call from my father. Many of you who remember my dad when he ran for office first time, he had probably the largest sign presence in 1992. That was 21 years ago now. It's hard to believe. Mm. But he had the largest sign presence. He had these very large 4x8 signs on elevated stanchions. So it looked like almost a mini billboard. And my dad was very quick to call me and tell me that he wanted my sign presence to improve. So I guess that's a piece of the campaign that we need to do better on.
I do remember those. It looked like they were, like, as you say, mini billboards. They were giants.
Yes, one of the things my dad taught me is that you campaign every day. You campaign all day, and you work really hard to meet people, to reach out, and most importantly, to listen. People don't want to listen to you. I mean, what they do, I mean, they want to hear your little spiel, but then they want to tell you what's going on, tell you what they think. You need to take that information, analyze it, and do your best to be responsive. And I think based on my record and the work we've done in the last 5 years, I'm proud of that.
As a kid, were you out there putting those giant signs for your dad, George Cunningham, up?
Well, so when my dad first ran for office in 1992, I was 18 years old.
Oh.
And, I had just moved into Graham Brindley dorms at the U of A.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on his campaign. And at the end of his campaign, I felt that public service was something really important to me. And I wasn't really the best student at the time. And so I joined the Army, mm-hmm. and I went and served my country, and I served both in the regular Army briefly and then into the National Guard and Reserves. I served in the same unit my father had served in 20 years before, and that experience, I think, changed a lot of my understanding about just life and philosophy in general. And after serving in the military, I've obviously returned to school and finished my degrees and have enjoyed a good career since then. But, so I did put signs up every campaign cycle, and I supported my dad because he taught me about the value of public service. He taught me the value of our community and Tucson being in it together for us. And he taught me the value that hard work and believing in fellow Tucsonans to make the best choices happen. My dad taught me those things, and actually so did my mom and my grandmother, both of them, and I'm proud to be serving now.
All right. Give your father my best, if you would, please.
Absolutely.
Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. What's your website? Wait a minute. He just walked in. You were on your way. You were by the studio, right? Okay. What is your website, real quickly, Paul? I've got about 30 seconds, if that.
If people want to look me up and check it out, it's CunninghamForCouncil.com. CunninghamForCouncil.com. I hope you consider supporting me or voting for me in November. Thank you.
All right, Paul Cunningham with us. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw is coming up this afternoon at 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8. The Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ed Alexander, 12:04. We'll see you then.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.